Okay. Good evening, everyone. Tonight's class is dedicated for Rafu Shalema, for Chaya Bas Vitel, and for Miro Bas Sarah Gittel. All right. April 25.
Pardon me?
Yes.
Do I know these people?
Nope. And I don't know one of them either, but somebody sent me a message if I can dedicate tonight's class to.
Okay, because I thought perhaps if I did, I was going to ask I could ask who they were. Anyways, thank you.
You're welcome. And we are in our prayer book. Now I'm going to say XVII, but now I understand I may have a different version, so it might be XVIII. So whatever version you have, we are on the last segment. Well, we're just going to review a little bit from last week and then move on to this week. Just bear with me a moment, please.
This is XVII from this book.
It should be a paragraph that begins with the words, when Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Should be towards the end of
XVII, it's the top page. It's the top of the page.
That's what I have in mind.
The very top on XVII.
It could be that some people have a different edition.
Well, they didn't take to learn to read with you, did they?
Okay. So, just to review a little bit from before. So we've been talking about in terms of prayer and how important, talked about the importance of prayer, what it does for me as a person, how it wakes me up. We talked about how important it is to articulate prayer, to actually say it. What can I say? You know, it's like when you speed read, or if you're not really saying the words, it sounds like, you know, when people pray and they're not really saying the words, it sort of may sound like this, like a monotonish kind of, I'm saying the words. But if you actually have to say the words, it's a little bit difficult. Now it's interesting. The part of the prayers, we'll see. We say the Shmoneh Esrei, the Amidah, the silent prayer, and in the morning service and the afternoon service, it gets repeated. When they repeat it, it takes a whole lot. Sometimes I daven someplace, and the person leading, he can say that Amidah to himself in 2 minutes flat, and he's finished. But when he repeats it, okay, so there's a Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema, there's an Amen, it takes a whole lot longer. How do you say the words that quickly? And even if you could say the words that quickly, did you have any kavanah, any intention when you said the word? Like, you just said the words so quickly that they're like flying by. And that becomes part and parcel of, look, I daven all the time, and that sometimes it just is that way. That people get used to it. You'd hope, like if it was your employee, that they don't just like pack the orders, get them out there. Like, but be meticulous. Make sure you don't send the wrong thing to the wrong person, because if you do, then how that's going to happen is that someone's going to. So it's important to articulate the prayers. Again, I'm not the epitome of, but I'm told when I pray, I'm moving my mind, although it's during the silent Shmoneh Esrei, right? Especially then, but even the rest of davening, I articulate the words. I say the words. About 20 years ago, I went back to call it like cheder. I went back to like grade one. How to read Hebrew properly in the proper dikduk, in the proper enunciation of each and every syllable. And there are a lot of there are a lot of rules that go along with that. So articulating the words, we had that on the page before. And then we also discussed about the language of prayer and that how, no question, Hashem is, you know, understands all languages. So you pray Russian, Hebrew, English, whatever language that a person understands, because it's important to understand what you're asking for. But there is also something special about saying a prayer in Hebrew, because the mysticism of the letters and its combination, we discussed this last week, you get all this plays into, you know, the higher echelon of mysticism, of which, I don't, you know, it's not for here. There's something special about saying a prayer using the original Hebrew, if you can. And that's why we had some classes here at the High Center of Reading Hebrew. And many of you can now read Hebrew because of those classes. Yeah, oh, Brian's got his hand there. Yeah, that's true. And even if you take one prayer, or even one line, like we discussed last week, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, even at least that, and you say that in Hebrew, that in itself contains within it so many deep concepts in terms of how the words are, letters and words are formulated together. And for the rest, for the bulk, you do in the language that you understand, and hopefully slowly one can learn a little bit, we'll practice a little bit more on the balance, and slowly maybe make a bracha. Instead of blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Say it in the Hebrew. Most people know that anyway. Easy to do. So we discussed a lot about, and that's what he says on the bottom of the previous paragraph, the end of the previous paragraph, three lines from the end of the previous paragraph. Nevertheless, this does not detract a whit from the importance of praying in the holy tongue, which means in Hebrew. It merely points up the responsibility to understand the prayers in their original holiest form. And that's something to be said for praying in the original, which is in Hebrew. And that's why the prayers are in Hebrew, except for a couple which are in Aramaic, and we'll talk about those, God willing, when we get to that. That's basically a small snapshot from the end of last week. Okay, pretty good. So I guess for the most part, we're on XVII, or the paragraph that begins with the words, when Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. This is the intro from the Art Scroll Siddur. What was that, Tracy?
Sorry, I was trying to get on earlier and there's something that was wrong with my my speaker on my laptop. Can I also ask for a dedication for learning for my father who is having surgery tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Yeshia Yitzchak Ben Chana.
Schneer Yitzchak?
Yeshia Yitzchak.
Yeshia Yitzchak. Yeshia
Yitzchak Ben Chana. Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, probably Yeshua Yitzchak.
I don't know if it's Yeshia. I think it's Yeshia. Yeshia,
it's either like Shia or it's either Yeshaya or Yeshua. You have to
Yeshaya.
Find it. Yeshaya, okay.
Yeshaya, it's a Ben Chana.
It's like Ben Chana.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem. Okay. So now, when Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol blessed God, he was the Kohen Gadol. The job of the Kohanim in general was the service in the temple. And there was the Kohen Gadol, there was one that was appointed as the head Kohen. In biblical times, it was Aaron, which was Moshe Rabbeinu's brother. And this was in later generations, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, in the times of the Talmud. And when he blessed God, it was with the request that the entire nation of Israel enjoy heavenly mercy. This plural nature This plural nature, the plural nature of his prayer is reflected in all of our supplications. As we will see in prayer later on, almost everything, there are some exceptions, but for the most part, pretty much everything is in the plural. Pretty much everything is in the chaneinu, be kind to us, compassion to us, rifa'einu, heal us, barech aleinu, bless us. It's, oh, 1 second, I'm praying. Sure, I'm praying about me, but it's the fact that he, that all the prayers are done in the plural form. So we're always praying for each other. Get back to that shortly. And he says, the plural nature of his prayers reflected in all our supplications, primarily in the Shmone Esrei, or also known as the Amidah, which pleads for everyone, not merely the individual who prays and his loved ones. So one of the benefits, as we discussed, one of the benefits of pluralizing the prayer is not only for me to get out of my head to know that I take a responsibility when I pray, that I'm praying for everyone. It's good to know that. It's good to know. When I say, Hashem, heal us, I may be the one who's sick. So first of all, the Talmud tells us, whoever prays for his friend gets answered first. So if I daven for you, I actually get answered first. Because if I'm more concerned about you than I am for me, Hashem will answer me first. We'll have the prayer take hold on me. It's brought down. As a matter of fact, there are groups, I don't want to get too far into it now. There are groups that pair up. I'll daven for you, you daven for me, and this way it's sort of crossing in that way, and we get, there's a special benefit in praying, in putting someone else in front of my prayer. For another time, just a minute. So, like I said, when we pray in the plural, when we use the pluralistic form, us, all the blessings are about us, then A, it gets me out of my head, and B, maybe even more importantly, what it does is that, I think I explained this once, that if one day, you know, today I don't feel like, you know, my davening, my head is not in the right place. And I can't, I'm going to daven because I'm going to pray because I'm going to pray because I pray every day. My head's not in the right place. The fact that we now include and we pray as a community, even if I'm not with a minion, even if I'm davening on my own, COVID, right? We're certainly davening on our own. Even so, my prayer gets included with everyone else's prayer that is praying with me. So if today I'm not having a good day, I get bumped up with the group. So that's one of the, and that's true. The truth is that's more for praying with a minion, with a community. But even where I can't, I'm traveling or whatever it is, I still say the pluralistic form. There are other things to do. I should try and daven at a time when there isn't, whatever it is. I still, or where I usually daven, I get included in because I care about everybody else. So Rabbi Yishmael understood that the power of prayer is not only in the prayer itself, not only in the words and in the letters, but even how we join as a group, how we join as a community, how we join in our pluralistic form. That makes such a big difference. Talk about pluralism of Judaism. You know, people like to be very pluralistic in today's times. So this is Judaism's form of broadening the scope of pluralism within Judaism when we have everyone in mind. We pray in the pluralistic form. And you'll see throughout the Siddur, and like he says, especially in the silent Amidah, it's practically all in plural form. Okay? Questions, comments? Okay, so let's move on. So Rabbi Shmuel knew that God is blessed when his people are secure, because then all humanity can come to recognize that in the service of God lies success. So here, you know, I'm a Jew, so I'm just going to tell it like it is. And I don't mean to be boastful of it. Don't mean to be arrogant in any way, shape, or form, because as Jews, we are just like everybody else and have the same issues as everybody else. But just we need to recognize that Rabbi Shmuel knew that God is blessed when his people are secure. Everything, again, please, you know, this is maybe a discussion for another time, but I just got to say it as it is. Everything that happens in the world happens because of the Jewish people. We are responsible for the world, every single Jew, not just because I'm a rabbi or because someone is a lay person. No, it makes no difference. We all are all equally responsible for the world because we have a relationship with the creator of the world. And when the Jewish people are in harmony, the world can be in harmony. I was just on the, I don't remember the headline. I was going to, you know, one of the news sites today, because today's was Yom HaZikaron, going into Yom HaTzmaut. And so somebody was, I can't remember what the headline was, but it was somebody who said, pray for peace in the world. And I've said many times, when there will be peace between Jews, among Jews and Jews, there can be peace in the world. I'm telling you, we need to get along with each other. If we can learn to get along with each other, there will be peace in the world. The more we as Jews get along with each other, with our varying backgrounds, that's reflected in the world. And the truth is, if you look back at it, if we were to learn history, and it becomes, yeah, that maybe after we run through the prayer book a little bit, maybe we'll strike up a history course, start learning some of the books of the prophets, you'll see that when the Jewish people were at peace with themselves and they were praying and they were bringing the sacrifices and doing what they had to do, there was peace in the world. And it's to an extent only when the Jews, the rift started coming out, and I want this and I want that, and I want to be the king, or I want to be this, I want a little bit of honor, that's when other issues started coming out as well. So Yishmael knew that God is blessed when his people are secure, because then all humanity can come to recognize that in the service of God lies success. And that is true. When we daven to Hashem, that's when we have success. Pray to God. You don't ask for it, you don't ask, right? You're not going to get it. Conversely, when Israel's condition is reduced, God's name is desecrated. If our intention is in praying for Israel's greater benefit is to bring about a sanctification of Hashem's name, of God's name, then our tefillah, our prayer, is worthy of those who composed it and of him to whom it is directed. In other words, our intention of prayer is to bring about a sanctification of God's name. That's the purpose of my prayer. I'm here to sanctify Hashem's name. And that's my purpose of prayer, not to show off my voice, not to show off how well I can read the words and how well my enunciation is and how fast I can go or whatever. No ulterior motive. I'm here to sanctify Hashem's name. And with that in mind, that, my friends, is a huge blessing, not only for me, for the world. And when I do something good for the world, I cause and effect do something good for me as well. Okay? Questions, comments?
I was just reading that as of now, there are approximately 10 million Jews living in Eretz Israel.
Yeah, just shy. Yep.
Yeah, about.
I don't know if that's Jews. I think that's the population. Is that Jews or the population of it? I think 9.7 million. I don't know if that's Jews or everybody.
Well, there's a the.
Whichever it is. And what's the point, Tracy?
Oh, just that it's getting to a point where there are starting to be. That Israel is starting to be more Jews than the, you know, that it's going to be a point where there's more Jews in Israel than there are in the diaspora.
Right. And, I see what you're saying.
And that that Israel is coming now to a point where it's not such a small country anymore. It's, you know, it's a land with, you know, water and technology, and its population is increasing, and other countries are, their population is decreasing, and it's just a very interesting time going forward. That who knows, right? Maybe this is you know, Mashiach times are not far away because of this. Who knows? We keep, you know. So anyway, I don't know if that was related to anything, but
fair enough. Thanks.
We're getting there.
Yeah. Very good. Anyone else? Okay. So now, but what happens if I really need to pray for something for me? I need something. I'm going through surgery, so I want to say a prayer for me. I have to think about somebody else. I just lost my job. I need a job. God, I need a job. I can't pray for me. Sure, I can. So let's take a look at the next paragraph. Even personal prayers for our own needs are not necessarily selfish in nature. Aha. God feels the distress of every individual. The Medrash, again, that's the rabbi, earlier rabbis, teaches, every salvation that comes upon even an individual Jew is that of the Holy One, for it is written that I am with him and in distress. I will show him my salvation. Israel says, in other words, if you, Hashem, respond to us, the salvation will be your own. Meaning, after all this, let's just finish the paragraph and then I'll go back and explain. If a Jew has in mind when he prays for wealth that God suffers along with him, and that when he finds it hard to pay his bills and clothe his child, then the plea for himself becomes a plea for God himself, as if it were. Imai anachi v'tzara. I, Hashem says, this is a verse in Psalms, I am with people in their pain. People think that, oh, I'm in pain. God, where are you? Don't you? My friends, when a person is in pain, Hashem runs the world. Hashem knows that you're in pain. Hashem gave you the pain. And it pains Hashem as well that you have to be. Take a parent-child relationship. Oh, what I'm going through now in school. The kids are back after Pesach. I thought I would have a some new maturity. Maybe they matured a little bit more over the last 4 weeks. No way. We're back to the same shtick in the classroom. But anyway, so, you know, every so often we got to dole something out. And it hurts me to have to do so. Tell a kid you got to stay late or you have an assignment. I don't enjoy doing this. Ha ha, you see my power. You got to, oh, please. No power in telling a 14-year-old do an assignment, 500 words on structures of bone in the body. Like, no pleasure in that. So it bothers me as well. When Hashem sees that someone is, or knows that someone is not well, it bothers Hashem as well. Imay anachi v'tzara. And therefore, if in our minds, listen to this, genius, when I daven, I pray saying, Hashem, I want you to heal me, not only for my sake, but I want you to heal me for your sake, because I know that you're suffering with me in my pain. That's my other person. That's the other side. What a beautiful, beautiful concept that is. So that is what he's saying here. Then the plea becomes a plea for God himself, as it were. Obviously, Hashem is not in pain. Hashem doesn't have pain in the sense. Hashem is not physical. But it means that Hashem is troubled because it's Hashem's preference not to have to do what give us what whatever difficulty that we have. He only does it for our benefit. I only do what I give assignments or whatever it is for these students for their benefit. I have no ulterior motive. I don't tell them, but I usually don't even look at what they write. I see that they did the work. I just get like, I don't read every 500 words, but counting, it's like, because they write it by hand. I just like, don't tell Brian, when you come, don't tell them. Because it's not about that. It's not about making somebody write, making somebody do something. It's that I also feel part of their difficulty. You know how we have that expression, a problem shared becomes half a problem? This is one reason why. Because Hashem participates in our difficulty as well. And Hashem does not want to see us in distress. So if I can now, in a way, recognize that Hashem is always with me, and my distress is being caused by Hashem, and Hashem knows exactly what I'm going through, and Hashem is doing it for my benefit. So I'm just going to pray, Hashem, you know what, for your benefit, let's get through this. Let's get past this. For your benefit. For our benefit. That again becomes the plural, and I'm not thinking about me. So good in terms of not being selfish in that way. Okay. Crickets. No questions, no comments. Okay, good. We move on. I wanted to finish this. Right, looking around, questions, comments? Okay. Now, we are at our noblest, he says, when we pray in the plural. Because only by pleading for the greater good of all Israel and all the world can we fully achieve God's purpose of allowing his beneficence to flow upon all of his creation. So can you imagine a soldier in the army? A soldier in the army is not fighting for his life. He's fighting for the life of all his comrades that are with him. Because if I don't stop this guy, if this guy shoots me, then one of my friends might. Yeah, so I might in a way seem selfish that I'm fighting for, I want to stay alive. I don't want to die in this thing. But I'm also fighting for everyone. And that's what he says. We are at our noblest when a person knows, I'm not just carrying the weight of me as an individual. Because if a soldier goes into the battle thinking, yeah, I'm just one soldier. Yeah, we got 10,000 soldiers up here. So what? One gone, big deal. I don't know if it's true or not, but one of the things that, at least that they say, that's said in the world, that the reason why the Israeli army is so successful, the reason why, it's not really the reason, but what's said is because they care so much about, it's really coming from a place of caring from everybody. They've taken Everybody carries the weight of every single soldier in battle. The truth is, the reason why we're so successful is because Hashem wants us to be. That's the real reason. But the way we can sort of look at it is because every soldier carries the weight of everyone else. And the truth is, if everyone were to carry the weight of everyone else, well, I'm a soldier. I'm not just fighting for my life. You know, take people in a program or in a 12-step program. I'm not just fighting for me. I don't want to just recover for me. I want to recover because I want to bring other people. I want to help other people. I don't want to get through cancer so that I made it through cancer. Now I want to make it through cancer. Can you imagine a person prays so that I can now bring other people through, so I can have a positive effect, a group effect or whatever it is, support group, for other people going through whatever difficulty I'm going through. That takes prayer in a whole different league, in a whole different level. And that's why we are at our noblest when we pray in the plural, because when that's what he's saying, because by pleading for the greater good of all of Israel, all the world, we can achieve God's only when we, where am I? Yes. We can fully achieve God's purpose of allowing his beneficence to flow upon all of his creation. I want everybody to be healthy so that everybody can recognize how great Hashem is. You know, people who are sick don't necessarily have the opportunity to recognize how great Hashem is. They're too busy dealing with their own health issues. They're too busy dealing with whatever is going on in their life. So I pray that Hashem should everybody should be healthy, that everybody should have some serenity, that everybody should be able to have some peace of mind, to be able to recognize, to think, how great Hashem is, and how great our body is, how great the universe is. That takes prayer to a whole new level. Make sense? Okay. Somebody listening to this class later might think that I'm just talking to myself. Okay. There are lots of people here on tonight's class. Very big class. So, and as he continues, and he says, even when we have crying personal needs, we subsume them in the general need. Okay. Even when I'm going through surgery, I've got this, I've got that, but that, it gets subsumed, it gets incorporated in the general need. Our hearts may break because of our own poverty or illness, but we want all Israel to prosper and be restored to good health. And if we must pray for ourselves, let us strive to do so in the hope that our benefit will rebound to Hashem's glory, not our own. It's not that, I want to get back to my job. I want to get back to my whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, because I'm an important person. I'm a VIP. No. I want to get back better because it's good for Hashem's sake. It's all about Hashem. Taking it off of me. None of this is intended to denigrate the prayer of the lone individual thinking of his wife, his child, his bills, himself. Someone standing on a lower rung of the ladder to heaven need not be ashamed because the goal seems so lofty. Instead, let him be proud and grateful that he has left the enticing, binding pull of earthly power and set his sights upward, which means that gravity always pulls us down. And maybe I'm not looking beyond. Call it gravity, selfishness. I think selfishness is also a gravitational pull. Right? Self-centeredness, selfishness, it's all gravity, all pulling it back towards me. But what I'm trying to do then is take my prayers beyond gravity, beyond my selfishness. Take it outside of me. Gravity on its own pushes things back and pushes things towards me. So I have to counteract that typical gravitational pull of things wanting to go outside me, and now as to bring it back into me, and now make it go out and think about other people as well. When we think, when we're self-centered to an extent, that's gravity too. Gravity isn't only on the physical side. Gravity is also on the spiritual side. How do I know? Can you see gravity? Can you touch gravity? You know it's there. You throw something up, it will come down. We're not in outer space where it's going to stay up there and float around. So we know that gravity is there, just like anxiety, fear, emotions is also there. And all that has a gravitational pull right back at me. And that's where I need to take my prayer, and I use my prayer to break the gravitational force of self-centeredness. Guys, I'm telling you, this is so important in terms of daily progress, daily life, how of becoming a better person, how to get out of my selfishness, out of my self-centeredness. I just want to be alone. I just want to be alone. No, nobody bother me. I want my own space. Right. That's why we pray for everybody. We make sure that our prayers include everybody. We think about more than just as ourselves. And that process of thinking about others helps me as a person get out of my self-centeredness. What an unbelievable concept. Okay.
I was just thinking, Rabbi, of today and Yom HaZikaron, and how 2 minutes, one at night and one today, the entire country comes to a standstill to, you know, just to pray for those who have, you know, given their lives. And that is a, you know, that is something that's done throughout the whole country. Like that, you know, I don't know, there might be others, but I don't know very many other countries that do that.
Well, geographically, Israel is not that large. It's not like the United States is going to put out a siren and the entire United States is. But yes, there's no question that it's unfortunate that it's something, it has taken something like war to have to unite us or give us the reason to unite in that way. But it is what it is. I mean, at least afterwards, we are taking the opportunity to unite in something, even if it's in silence.
Right. I'm just saying that there's that is like something that I find that is such a Jewish concept, in the sense that, you know, the whole country stops, which is just quite remarkable.
Right. Yeah. I wish the whole country would stop for Shabbos.
What's that?
I wish the whole country would stop for Shabbos. That would also be quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, as I'm saying, at least for war, people have been injured. You know, we look beyond what our differences are. And it's unfortunate that as well, that let's say from the positive perspective, that it would be such a beautiful thing that if we would unite, be able to unite in more instances as well. That's where the power is. The power lies in our ability to unite. That's what the Torah tells us, that the Jewish people, when we received the Torah on Mount Sinai, it was ki ish echad uvalev echad. There was a unity that existed among the Jewish people in its entirety that has yet to be duplicated into that degree since that time. So that's really what we have to get back to work at. And that's why, one of the beautiful things, sorry, I say this, Tracy, can you just put yourself on mute, please? Because I'm getting the feedback from your mic. Thanks. That I said this before, again, one of the things that I think is so beautiful about the Chai Center is that we're really such an interesting mix of coming from all different backgrounds. And I don't care what your background is. I really don't care. You're here to grow as a person, Jewish, not Jewish. You're here to grow as a person. And you're here to unite, to create as large a unification process that we can. Beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. We have to have 10,000 people in our group to show how big and strong. Nope. We can be a beacon of light no matter what size we are. So we are the size we are. That's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem has brought us to the Chai Center. That's what we'll take at the Chai Center. But it's the unity that we get along, that we work together, that we grow together, we share together. It's not about me. It's about us. It's not even about you. It's about us. Okay? Any other questions or comments before we finish up? Okay. Bottom paragraph. Does modern man have less need to pray because he's gained so much control over his environment? But before we go to the finish up, that's a great question. We have so much. Got a beautiful home, got a car, got money, got food, Baruch Hashem. Maybe I don't need to pray. So right now, everything is going fine. I'll pray when I have a need to pray. Oy, my car broke down. God, I don't know. My leak in the roof. Oh, yeah, in my house. Lost my job. Oh, yeah. Now I have to pray. But when everything's fine, what's the say? He says, does modern man have less need to pray because he has gained so much control over his environment? No, just the opposite. Because man has become so powerful, he can and does fail to realize that he is strong only because God has made him so, and that he is no less dependent on the one above than were his humblest ancestors scratching at rocky soil with a wooden plow. As a matter of fact, this past Sunday, we learned in Pirkei Avot, Sunday morning, Mar Benachasim, Mar Bedagis, that the one who has more to one's name, the more one has, the more one has what to worry about. That was what we learned, and that is very true. So the fact that we have more is what's making it more challenging. I remember years back, and radio and television, obviously there was no internet communication. When something came up on the news, we sort of took it as face value that that is indeed correct. Maybe journalists were more correct at that time. There was less to play around with. This was my opportunity. The news was at 6. There's no such thing as 24-hour news channel. It just didn't exist. You watch the news at 6, you watch the news at 11, that's it, you got your thing and then finished. Maybe there would have been a bulletin every so often. But I think we had a better grasp on the news and what was true and what was real then now that we have 24-hour news and who said what and who texted what and what email or tweet or whatever it is that went out that said this. And, no, I did say it. No, I did. I may have said it on that platform, but I said something different on this platform. On Facebook, I said it this way. And on Twitter, I said it that way. And on the newscast, I said it this. So what do you mean? What did he say? What is true? You'd think that the fact that there's more news available, that there's more available, that more truth would come out. No, it's the opposite. And that's what he's saying here. The fact that we have gained so much more control, does that mean that we have less need to pray? No, it's exactly the opposite. And to end, he says prayer, and this is so important. Prayer is God's gift to help us mine nuggets of truth so that we can understand ourselves and our role and thereby allow him, Hashem, to carry out his desire to bless man. So prayer is God's gift. It's a gift that Hashem has given us to help us find the truth. Find the truth within. So that we can understand ourselves and what am I doing here? You know, every so often, I was just at a funeral this morning, every so often just, you know, look back at my life and, you know, look back at history, 5,700 whatever years. And I'm this little snippet of time. God willing, it should be 120 years. But whatever my 120 years is, so, and everybody's got the little snippets along this continuum of the existence of the world. The existence of the world is like this. I'm a little snippet, which means I can't get ahead of myself. I'm just a little snippet in the grand scheme of things. Hashem has given me a gift of prayer to be able to look at myself within the entire spectrum of the world from beginning until end, recognize my place on the world, recognize my responsibility in the world. It gives me so much chizuk, so much encouragement to know that I have a gift from Hashem that I can pray, that I can make a difference. Remember we discussed this in the previous 2 weeks ago, that my prayer, everyone's prayer, there is no prayer that goes unanswered. Every prayer makes a difference. You, me, we all can make a difference on the planet. You know how it's like when we help somebody, somebody's having a bad day, and they, hey, good morning, and you give them a smile, you may have changed, and you feel good about it. Yeah, I can make a difference in someone else's day. Yes. You make a difference in someone else's day on the planet. And there's a story I have to tell you. I just have to get it because I want to read it. Just give me 1 second, please. I just have to get it from over here. I didn't bring it with me. I'm sorry. I have it right here. Yeah, so the story goes like this. The story goes like this. This is a story of Reb Zalman Brizel, a blessed memory, one of the righteous people of Yerushalayim. This is a story from Reb Zalman. One day, he said to his son, "Don't ask, I had such a hard day." "What happened?" his son asked. "I woke up in the morning at 2 a.m. He would get up actually at 2 a.m. That was his daily schedule, getting up at 2 a.m. And I wanted to put on my shoes, but the shoelaces were gone. So I figured that the grandchildren were playing with my shoes and they took the shoelaces out of my shoes. And, you know." "So what did you do?" asked the son. "Don't ask. I looked all over the house for the shoelaces and I found one. I thanked Hashem for that. But I still couldn't go anywhere with one shoelace. So then I searched the house all over again for another one, which isn't an easy feat for an old man like me. I finally found the other shoelace. And then I went to the mikveh. But when I came out of the water, my clothes weren't there. Someone took my clothes. I considered asking someone else who he would go with. He was an elderly person, so he would be with him. He says, to bring me another set of clothes from home, but I decided against it because, you know, he was telling his son what was going on. Your mother, meaning my wife, might wake her up if somebody's coming in unannounced in the middle of the night. So I didn't have clothes to wear. So the son says, so Dad, what did you do? What did I do? I'll tell you what I did, says the father. I woke up this morning. I found shoelaces in my shoes. I went to the mikveh and no one stole my clothes. Everything was fine and well. And he was just bringing out the point, how easy it is to get caught up in all the things that are wrong in our life. We get so easily caught up in things that are wrong and not pay enough attention to what's really right. I got up this morning. The house was warm. The water turned on. The toilet flushed. There was no leak in the roof. So many things to be grateful for, but oh man, this didn't work. The water was cold. And sometimes we just bicker at things that are just so insignificant. So that we use our prayer, that's what he's saying here, to mine nuggets of truth so we can understand our role and thereby allow him to carry out his desires, to bless us. And he closes with the following sentence: let us bless Hashem as Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol did, by creating the conditions for him, for Hashem, to shower his blessings on his creatures. What a beautiful introduction to prayer. And with this, we can now basically turn the page. We've completed our overview of prayer, understanding that what prayer does, how it works, the language. And now, hopefully, it'll give people, oh, so where do I go from here? Ah, come back next Tuesday when we turn the page and we begin on page 2. Why do we begin on page 2, you may ask? Because in Judaism, there's no such thing as page 1. And that is true. In every book of the Talmud, every page of the Talmud, every book of the Talmud begins on page 2. Because there is only one. All right. Any final questions or comments for tonight? So tomorrow night we're back live. I mean, we're live anyway. We're on Zoom anyway. That is true. But hopefully you can make it live. Be nice to see people. Spiritual awakening. In the meantime, wishing you all a great evening.